everyone, welcome back to Remote Insights, Nexstern's very first podcast, where we explore all about remote recruiting in the tech industry. This is Alison Biss. I'll be your host for this episode. And today we'll be deep diving into the recruiting process, both from a candidate's perspective and from a US company's perspective as well. With remote work being the new normal, we find it very important that Latin American professionals are not only aware of the huge advantages that working for US companies has, but thoroughly informed on US recruiting processes so that you may ace your interviews, onboarding, and have an overall seamless transition into remote startup culture. At the same time, since our expertise here at Nexstern is all about optimized and agile recruiting processes, we want to share our insights to help companies create their own ideal recruiting process. So today I'm joined by two very special guests, Lucas Arana, Nexstern's VP of Talent, and Leandro Pasos, our technical coach here at Nexstern. We're very excited to have you guys with us here today. But who better to talk about you than yourselves. So, Lucas, what do you do at Nexstern? What are the main responsibilities of a VP of Talent?
Hi, Ali. Hi, everybody. Hi, Leon. That's a nice question. And I hear it a lot. Like, nobody really knows what I do. But because I do a lot of stuff, okay? So the VP of Talent at Nexstern, as a software engineer myself, you know, I'm more in charge of the technical perspective of Nexstern, okay? I'm in charge of integrations, platform, product, technical recruiting team, technical interviewing team, strategic, talking a little bit about what we are doing next, about where are we going, deciding the growth, budget. That's a little bit about all I do here at Nexstern, and it's a super, super fun job for sure.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot. That's a huge list for sure. So, Leon, what do you do at Nexstern? Like, what does it mean to be a tech coach?
Okay, well, first of all, I can explore 28 years of experience in IT. I'm quite old on that. And at the same time, explore something we, even developers, you heard that before. Usually we like to solve problems, but like to help people. That's the perfect position to do that, to explore that, helping the candidates, even our clients, because I have the opportunity to help them with their code challenge, how we check the code challenge, see how we can improve them for both sides, candidates and clients.
It's interesting that, you know, you're an interview expert, basically, and you sometimes have to go through a recruiting experiences yourself as a candidate, as you just mentioned that you did with Nexstern. So what do you think, what's usually the most common mistake that Latin American tech candidates make when interviewing for a US company?
One of them was, and probably the most easy to change one, is that as we receive a lot of opportunities, we have so many options on our table. Whenever we go to an interview, we expect them to sell us. And, you know, this is a win-win for both sides, right? They have to know about me, but I have to know about them as well. So if I decide to participate in a process, I should investigate. I should see what the company is doing, what the product is doing. I have to see if I'm interested in something like that, right? Not just, hey, I'm wandering around and I'm seeing if I'm interested in something and I found my ideal opportunity from one day to another, right? That's super hard. And I remember doing it myself and going to an interview and it was like, all right, sell me and tell me how good your company is, you know? And that's a little bit cocky, and that's something that we get used to. Not the best scenario, right? I mean, if you investigate and you connect with the mission and you're interested with what they are doing, that's going to impact really hard on the client. It's going to impact really hard on the company itself. And that's a really easy mistake that we developers do, and really easy fix that can improve a lot, right?
I basically, as Lucas mentioned before, regarding interviews, I would say that not prepare beforehand for an interview and do not have the mindset of enjoy the interview. both for me are really important. And sometimes I see candidates forgetting to do that. You see, preparing yourself for an interview is a full stack job, because you have to pay attention to so many different details to prepare yourself. Like a few examples: posture, body language, nonverbal language, environment, the equipment you are using. As Luca mentioned, research, everything that can help you to show that you are the guy to that job. It's important to remember that as a candidate, as a senior candidate, you have a lot of experience, but you don't have a lot of time to talk about your experience. That's why you should prioritize. And how can I prioritize something? Well, your research. You check the job description. You check what they are looking for and compare with what you have as experience. And you can provide them, okay, I will prioritize that. That will be the best information to provide them about myself. And as I said, enjoy the process. I like to say that we are not in Matrix movie. So it's impossible to upload information to your brain, right? What I mean with that, you know what you know, you have all the experience you have because you worked hard to be on this level right now. So do you agree? You deserve to enjoy the moment. If you have this mindset, you probably will show enthusiasm, energy, you show your passion for what you are doing. And as a result, you will, well, enjoy the moment, and you will provide better answers to all the questions your interviewer will ask you. So enjoy the ride, prepare yourself, and enjoy the ride. That's what I would say.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned the experiences, because I'm sure that many candidates, I mean, I've lived it myself as a candidate, struggle to, you know, find the best practices to make your experiences stand out when you're interviewing, particularly for a company from abroad. So what's your input on this, Leon? How can a candidate make their experiences stand out?
I would say be interesting. During any conversation, you will be an interesting person if you show genuine interest in the other person, right? What I mean with that, by researching the company and studying the job description, as I mentioned before, you will be able to identify what they are looking for. Job descriptions, for example, they have a lot of keywords over there. You can highlight, that's something you can actually do. You can highlight the keywords you see there. You will identify all the hard skills, soft skills they are looking for, okay? And also researching the company, as Lucas mentioned, their product, you can subscribe to their platform, install the apps they have. Let's say you are not able to download the app. Sometimes it happens, okay? In my country, I'm not able, and it's an US application. Okay, search for videos. How does it work? Search for videos on YouTube from the company. You have the company perspective, and search videos from users. What they are saying, what is good, what's not so good. Because sometimes you can have, in the first interview, someone's asking you something like, okay, if we were able to improve our product, how would you do that? Even if you have no idea how to improve, if you know the products, you will be able to say, well, I'm not totally sure to say what can improve right now. I want to do that, but I can say that you can explore a little bit more this feature because it's awesome. And you go ahead and you show that you did your homework and you know the company. You also research your interviewer. You know this person's background. You can adjust your language. So this practice makes you interesting because you will show that you are interested in the company. You know the company and you want to know more during the interview. You show enthusiasm and energy with this way. I like this approach because you start making this connection,
that's
this rapport,
yeah,
since the very beginning.
Basically, just be proactive in your research and in your organization before going to an interview. So, you know, Lucas, you yourself do a lot of interviews, I mean, as an interviewer yourself. So I was wondering, what are the key things that a candidate should keep in mind to make you know, a great first impression, particularly with a US company?
I did a lot of interviews. But you know, it's not the same to be the interviewer than being the interview, right? There's a small but big difference at the same time. And that's important to understand as well. You know, there are a lot of people that has as much as experience that I do as interviewer, but when they get to go to the other side of the table, it's not so easy. You don't have to do the exact same thing, right? Because you are the one selling yourself. In the other type of interviews, you are just trying to gather as much information as you can on that time. So first of all, time management, understanding a little bit that you're going to have 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 45 minutes, depending on the size of that call. So you had to do time management. You had to sell yourself in that amount of time. And you have to be able to share all the information that you want to share to the interviewer in the correct amount of time, right? So punctuality, that's extremely important, okay? Be on time. Be 1 minute before the call, 5 minutes before. That will already give you a couple of minutes ahead, okay? So if you start 3 minutes later, you have 3 minutes less to show yourself and to show your expertise, right? So that's important as well. Being punctual is extremely important for everybody, for respect to other people's time, right? Respecting other people's time is a top priority. And if you have to reschedule with 24 hours of pre-notice. If you can't show to the interview, send a message, send a couple of messages. Try to be as respectful as possible with everybody. And respect is super important throughout all the interview, okay? Talking about your previous experiences, even if they were bad experiences for some reason, just being respectful about those positions is important as well, right? We all got to where we are by our good and by our bad experiences. And that's super important to understand from every perspective. Rather than that, be well presented. It means just being there and express yourself and try, if you are super introverted, try to be assertive and try to improve that a little bit as well, because people expect to have a conversation and to see themselves how we are going to work together, right?
So it's pretty widely known that live coding interviews are the technical assessment most frequently used by US companies. And simultaneously, it's the technical assessment that's most disliked by developers. I know that you, Lucas, are in particularly the biggest live coding session fan. So I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your perspective on this type of test.
So first of all, we have to understand the cultural differences between North America and the rest of America, okay? So in North America, whenever you are out of school, you know that you're going to face live codings. So all the university, every single job opening that you will have in North America will be about a live coding. So they are really used to this, okay? They are super prepared for this, and they prepare for a couple of months before going into these live codings. That's something that doesn't happen in Latin America, okay? In Latin America, we don't have so many live codings. That doesn't mean that we don't have them, but we're not so used to it, okay? And university does not prepare you for that either, and you have to prepare yourself, okay? So that cultural differences put us in a not so great situation, okay? But what happens afterwards? So you start getting experience and you start participating in those US processes and you start to get a little bit more of insights and knowledge on how this works, okay? And at some point, you realize that live codings are not so bad as they seem, okay? Yes, there are live codings that are really, really bad, like they try to make you do stuff that you will never do and extremely complex algorithms and, I don't know, tricky questions. Yes, you will encounter sometimes interview process like that, but most live codings are more like a pair programming, right? We're going to be sitting down with somebody else. We are going to discuss the solution, try to make a good result out of it. It's important to express yourself and understand that what you're doing is just sitting with another dev to try to get to a solution, right? And once you change the perspective to see it that way, it's going to be much, much more easier, okay? This takes practice. This takes experience. But it will open the doors to many really cool opportunities, okay? Once you master live coding challenges, it's much more about showing yourself to that position and explaining how you can be a fit for that position rather than focusing on something that gets you really nervous and you want to avoid, okay? Nevertheless, next time, if you don't want to participate of live coding challenges, which is super okay, you will always receive the job opening, the job description with the details of the process. And if it has a live coding, you can actually ask Leon to help you prepare, or you can just avoid him for now until you feel more ready, guys. That's super important to understand as well, okay?
I think that some US companies trying to hire people in Latin America may be struggling with this type of technical assessment for this particular reason. So what other thorough technical assessment types are there? Like, what alternatives to live coding can US companies use to understand the skills of a LATAM developer?
I love this question, and there are many, many ways of actually doing other type of assessments, okay? So you can actually do technical interviews, talk technically, and get deeper into what you have done, and maybe even just doing questions about your technical logic, about your product logic, etc. You can do system design questions so that you can see how somebody would think about a product, about a feature, about a module. And you can actually see a couple. We have a couple of examples if you want to see one. Actually, Leon shared with me one of Amazon the other day, and I really enjoyed it. It was really good.
That's awesome.
And you can do some pair programming instead of a lab coding. You can actually sit down and just do a session of pair programming. Okay, so this is the code to fix. Let's get together and let's try to fix it together. You can even do take-home challenges, okay? So this is a real-life issue. This is a task, a story point. You have like 3 story points to do this task, and you have to do it in certain amount of time. And you can think about it and take it to your home and think about it for maybe a day or so and just... it will require a little more time than live coding, like 3 hours instead of 30, 40 minutes. But that's okay because some people are more comfortable with that. You can share how you structure your code and how you write it down. So in summary, there are so many other ways to actually test engineers and developers in general. And there are many other ways to actually get to the same results without... getting somebody nervous on live coding, because live codings as well are for a little bit more extroverted people than introverted. And that's an issue as well, okay? Not everybody requires extroverted people for every single job. In fact, in software engineering, being introverted is actually quite nice and quite good. So it's important not to have false negatives because of that.
Absolutely. Leon, out of all these assessment types, which one do you say that you recommend the most? Which one do you like the most?
Talking about resources to prepare for technical interviews, I not only those, but also I want to add something, checking some platforms. We have a lot of different platforms that can help you to practice, but also to have a better idea about what kind of questions, what kind of exercises, functions they can ask you to do. Like platforms like HackerRank, CodeWars, there are several of them where you can practice. Those two, I believe, is the famous ones. Besides that, I like the approach. Lucas kind of mentioned that you are doing what you do every single day. Do you agree? Because every day someone asks you to help with a problem. So you have to understand the problem before you start saying, okay, let's do that. You need to understand, you need to ask. Don't worry to make questions. Sometimes people, I see candidates, they are afraid of ask questions. They need to understand. It's possible even that your interviewer do not provide all the information for you to be sure if in this kind of situation you will ask for more information or you will waste time trying to do something that's not what they are waiting, they expect from you. Okay, so daily routine. Someone asks, you ask questions to be sure you got the idea, then you suggest a solution, deal with that as a pair programming, because your interviewer is not against you. Actually, probably he is cheering that you be the one because he doesn't want to keep making interviews forever. Okay, it's important to remember that. Also, it's as a resource, I always would say, again, the job description, everything you know about the company, because probably they are trying to test you on what they need for you from you. Okay. Regarding again, soft skills, hard skills. So introvert or extrovert, are you a good team player? It's nice. It's actually nice to work with you during a project. Do you know how to ask for help or not? At least to ask, what do you expect from me? It's interesting to explore that as well. Also, some technical points here. If you are able, they will test you if you are able to solve problems like related to performance, related to scalability. So pay attention on that. Lucas mentioned about the take-home assessment. It's quite common the next interview, they will discuss with you the take-home assessment, and they ask questions like, okay, let's talk about scalability. How can you improve that? If you have more time to work on that, what was your challenge, the bigger challenge while you are doing that? What did you like most when you are doing that? It's one natural way on a conversation, on a chat, to understand if you really know what you were doing and to explore a little bit more what you have done.
So it's awesome that you mentioned a little bit earlier different platforms that you can use to get ready before an interview, a technical interview. I actually read on LinkedIn a few days ago that there's this new Google feature called Interview Warm-Up that helps you to prepare for an interview beforehand and actually gives you valuable feedback on how you did during the practice. So I was wondering if there's something similar specifically for technical interviews that engineers can use, like what resources are available for candidates to prepare for a technical interview?
Well, I read about this new product from Google. Seems interesting, and AI exploring that. I'm not sure if it will be so focused on development for developers. Probably it will be at some point, if it's not yet. Okay. I would say these platforms, as I said, the HackerRank, CodeWars, if you Google this, you will find a lot. Triple Byte, CodeSignal, TestGorilla, Codability, there are several of them. Something that can help you is to have a partner on that. I believe Lucas mentioned that before as well. If you have someone that works with you, a colleague you have, a friend that's a developer as well, you can practice that with him, okay? If you have a friend that, okay, the guy has no idea about developing, even this guy can help you. Because sometimes they can ask you, okay, tell me about a project that was challenging from you. It's interesting too, and sometimes an interviewer can ask you, imagine I have no tech background. How would you explain this tool for me? How would you explain this project for me? So it's interesting sometimes to practice even with a friend that has no idea about technology and ask the guy, do you get the idea? were you able to understand what I'm explaining? Because it can help you to practice that. Otherwise, we will keep using technical words that will show that we are not so able to communicate with people from other teams. So you can practice that as well, okay? Involving people is a great way, is a great resource to help you to prepare yourself.
Well, that's great. That's super valuable, definitely. Even if it's sometimes, even if it's just a pet, maybe who you can talk to while you practice, if you don't have anyone, that's also, I found that's also helpful.
I remember when I was just developing, and something very common is you are stuck on a issue, on a problem. You cannot solve that piece of code anyway. So you ask for help to a friend. And just because you are explaining the situation, okay, the context to your friend, while you are explaining, many times you find the solution. So you can see how important it is to explain to someone else what is going on.
Okay, so switching topics a little bit, I wanted to explore a little bit about remote recruiting in Latin America as a U.S. company. Our clients are U.S. companies, and we help them boost their teams by finding, you know, amazing talent here in LATAM to join their companies in the long term, not just another freelancer or someone for a one-time project, but a team member. And Lucas, you're the expert here. As a U.S. company, besides skills and overall experience, what other qualities should you look for when hiring a remote professional?
In a world where there are so many opportunities and there's so many demand and a lack of offer of software engineers, that makes really hard to keep your team with you for a long time, right? You have to keep them motivated, you have to keep them happy, you have to make them feel part of your team. And you know, and this is the key here, okay? So for a long time, contractors were set as a separate part of the team, right? They didn't have paid time off, they didn't have benefits in general, they didn't have perks. That changed, and the market adjusted to this. And U.S. companies are actually investing a lot on their teams right now, right? So that's the side of the U.S. companies that try to match what they have to do. But from our end, we have to do it as well, right? So as developers, it's our responsibility as well to be motivated about what we are doing, being proactive, going to where we want to do, working in a mission that we find nice, not just switching jobs because we found a 10% raise, right? Going to what we like, to what we want, and choosing the right opportunity is extremely important, okay? Since the very beginning of the process, when you get the job description, you read about it, do they have the technologies they want? Are they doing what I want to do? Are they paying what I want to earn? You have to check all of that so that you actually feel motivated about what you are doing as well, right? So for U.S. interviewers, what I recommend in each single step of the process is to sell your company as well, okay? So every single point of contact that you have in an interview process, it's a chance to show how good your company is and how passionate somebody can be for working for you, right? And sometimes we use the interview just to extract information from a candidate. But that's not the key here, right? We should be trying to show what our company is about and trying to show how good it is to work and how part of a team you will feel by joining my company, right? And that's important as well. But having a multicultural team is extremely rich. Getting to know other cultures, getting to know other personalities, our other types of experiences, of ways of thinking stuff, of education. So it's super rich to have a multicultural team. And that happens a lot between US and the rest as well, because every single country has their own differences. And that's really, really something that you should be looking up for, because it provides an amazing environment in your company. And that's super, super nice.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. You know, having multicultural teams adds a lot of fresh perspective and different points of views and different ways of accomplishing the same tasks. And that's always super enriching for every company. So we're running a little bit out of time. So thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Leanne. It was a pleasure talking with you guys here today. Thanks, everyone out there, for joining us and listening. I hope that, you know, you learned as much as I did. And for the next few episodes, we're actually bringing startup founders, CEOs, CTOs, VPs, and more tech industry experts, giving us knowledge that you probably can't get anywhere else, so be sure not to miss it. Whether you're a company looking for highly skilled professionals, or whether you're a senior tech professional looking to land a long-term opportunity at a US company, you can go ahead and visit nextonlabs.com to see how we can help you achieve that.